Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our sermon series today called Jesus to Me as we are only 1 week away from Easter, Resurrection Sunday. This morning we'll look at Jesus as the mighty warrior that he is. We see all through the gospel stories of Jesus' strong personality and powerful presence. We see in John 2 where he made a whip out of cords and cleared the temple of everyone selling livestock and exchanging money. That would take a very powerful person to take on that task. On the night Jesus was arrested, it says in John 18:6 that when the guards, Pharisees, and chief priests came to arrest Jesus, they all fell to the ground when Jesus said he was the one they were looking for. Power emanated from Jesus, and that same power is available to us today through the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power." And again in 2 Corinthians 4:7, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." When we become a Christian, we are instantly thrown into a battle with Satan and his forces. The only way we can survive is to use the power Jesus left us in the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us, "Put on the full armor of God." What do you need our mighty warrior to help conquer in your life this morning? Is it as an addiction? Is it complacency or bitterness, fear, hopelessness, or something else? Jesus gives us everything we need to fight the roaring lion prowling around trying to destroy us. His Holy Spirit needs to be living in us, and we need to make sure we are fueling his Spirit each and every day through prayer, Bible reading, and obedience to him. I pray you feel God's power and his majesty this week in your life, and thank you for listening.
Friends, we are gathered to give thanks for all we have received from God's good hands.
To praise God's holy name.
To acknowledge and confess our sins.
To hear God's holy word. And to ask those things needful for life.
Let us draw near to God in all humility and celebrate God's infinite goodness and mercy. Today we're going to be concentrating on the Prince of Peace. For Jesus' theme, and one of our first songs is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Our special music is Carmen Brown at the piano with a beautiful rendition of Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Alan Chambers reads our scripture, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Jesus to Me, Prince of Peace.
Would you please join me in the prayer for illumination? Wise, all-knowing God, soften our hardened hearts that we may hear your voice in the reading of the scriptures. Lead us and feed us as we travel through this Lenten wilderness towards the promised land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first lesson today comes from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 40. And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the word which he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him, and we are witnesses to all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him manifest." Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he was made to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God."
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Carmen. We've had Carmen Wednesday night, Carmen on Sunday morning. Man, just so blessed for the talent that you have. Thank you for bringing the special today. She's also been playing out at the California Care for the residents. And like I said earlier, last on Wednesday night, we hope to get those services started up again. I think some services are starting this Thursday, and then we'll hopefully have something out there every Thursday afternoon after that. But hey, we're going to be in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, if you want to turn there, as we continue our look at Jesus to Me and all the different titles, all the different views that we have of Jesus. We've looked at Jesus as Lord. We've looked at Jesus as teacher and as friend. And last Sunday, we looked at Jesus as healer. And today we're going to be looking at Jesus as the Prince of Peace. That's one of the titles given to him in Isaiah chapter 9 when Isaiah was prophesying about the Messiah to come 700 years before it happened. He said one of the names that he would be Prince of Peace. And when the angels announced to the shepherds that a Messiah had been born, he says, you know, peace to you. You know, peace is coming to you. And so we strive to find peace in our world today. We know Jesus talked about peace in different ways. In Matthew chapter 10, he says that, you know, I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. He talks about that when we make a decision of faith, that when we choose to follow him, that it could divide us from our family, from our friends, from people that were close to us, because when you make a decision for Christ, things that were part of your life go away. But when we look here at John 14 and 16, we're going to see that Jesus had an idea about what peace is, long-lasting peace. Peace that we can have with God the Father. Peace that we can have with ourselves after we've come to that relationship. And then how that we can have peace on a daily, regular basis when the world around us is chaotic and in trouble. I did some studies on family feuds from the past. Of course, everybody knows about the Hatfields and McCoys. That's one that gets all the action, all the notice and stuff. But not as many people were killed in that as what you'd think. But it gets a lot of the publicity. There is one that took place in Arizona. It's called the Pleasant Valley Wars in the late 1880s. This one was much more bloody, much more vengeful, and you'll see how it ended. And I think too many times when we strive to have peace or we try to, you know, dominate someone else, we see all the damage that it can be done. It says, before the feud started in the 1880s, the two families, the Grahams and the Tewksburys, they were both ranchers. They both had cattle. Their business, though, together was they stole cattle from other people to make their herd bigger. And so there was a disagreement over someone stealing cattle from the other one, and so then the battle began. And it got the most violent in February of 1887, when Thomas Graham shot a Tewksbury hired hand who had been herding sheep on contested grazing land. In retaliation, Graham was shot by Ed Tewksbury, who immediately went on the lam. And shortly after, the Grahams and their sympathizers laid siege to the Tewksbury cabin, engaging in a shootout that lasted for hours. The only ceasefire was granted to Mrs. Tewksbury so she could dig shallow graves for her son and his friend, William, who'd been killed in the melee. Over the next few years, between 20 to 50 men from both sides were killed, often by bands of masked men, which made arrest a rarity. However, the feud finally came to an end in 1892 when Tom Graham Jr., the last surviving member of his family, was shot and killed in Tempe, Arizona by the fugitive Ed Tewksbury, the last of his clan. Tewksbury was tried and convicted, but due to a legal technicality, his case was dismissed in 1895. Tewksbury died of natural causes in 1904 as the sole survivor of the Pleasant Valley War. Too many times when we kind of start our lives and we try to have vengeance and we try to get back at people that hurt us, this is what eventually happens to us. We may win the battle, but we've lost everything in between. He was the last surviving member of his family. As the song of Bobby Bear said, you know, I'm the winner. Yeah, I'm the winner. You can list all the things that happened in his life, all the injuries that he had happened, but he had never had peace until he had destroyed the other people that had harmed him. That's not the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about. When we look in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 today, we're going to find out what the peace God that has so we can have eternal peace and we can have everyday peace. So when we look here in John 14 and John chapter 16, we see that the first peace that we want to have is peace with God. How do we get to have peace with God? What's our status with God before we come to know Jesus? Jesus tells the parable of the wedding banquet in Matthew chapter 22, where the guest invited, here the master of the house invited these people to come to his banquet. And they all made up excuses not to come. And then he told his servants to go out and go to the streets and find all the people you can to come to my banquet. See, we've all been invited to have peace with God. Unfortunately, not very many of us, not very many people of this world accept the peace treaty that God gives us. We see what our status is in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 22. Paul writes and tells us where we stand with him without Jesus in our life. He says, for God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. He says, until you accept that invitation as Jesus is the Lord of your life and confess him as Lord, you're just on the guest list. You're not part of it. You're considered an enemy of God. I love Romans chapter 5, and that's a passage of scripture I want you to meditate on this week. There's different scriptures I'm going to give you, and there's a place in your bulletin to write them down and to reflect on them later. But you'll find in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, everything you need to know about having the peace with God that we can all have. He says there, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And skip down to verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? See, until you come to a saving relationship in Jesus Christ, you are on the enemy list of God. He initiates the peace plan. He's made the invitation to you, but you've got to accept that invitation. You've got to strive to make a seat at the table of His banquet. He tells us that we are to be reconciled to Him, that a penalty had to be paid for the price of sin in our life. And no matter how many good things you do, no matter how many children lessons, no matter how many specials, no matter how many times we play a piano, no matter how many times you visit people or help an old lady across the street, none of those things brings us in the right relationship with God. The only way that we have peace with God is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the shedding of His blood to pay the penalty for our sins. And God has initiated the peace treaty. He's the one that initiated the peace terms for us to come. John 3:16, He said it, "For God so loved, He sent His Son for us." So how do we have that peace with God? We believe in Him. We're justified through our faith in Him. And we gain access to that grace through our belief in Him. And then the forgiveness takes place. And as Alan read just a few moments ago, then we now have a new ministry in our life, a new purpose in our life. We are now ambassadors. We are the ones now that preach the ministry of reconciliation. No matter how good your neighbor, no matter how nice they are, no matter how successful they look, until they come into a reconciled relationship with Jesus, they will stand before the judgment seat of God all alone. No one there to state their case. No one to stand with them. Jesus is going to stand by the ones that believe in Him. He's going to plead their case before God the Father. And when we have that relationship with Him, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here." And that's the relationship we strive for, that relationship with God that only comes through the sacrifice of Jesus. But then once we have that peace with Jesus, through Jesus with God, how do we have peace with ourselves? We know the struggles that we have. We know the things that we've fallen short. We know what our past contains. And many people, maybe in your community, your family, know the life that you used to once live in. Maybe you know the deepest, darkest hurts of your heart. And you know there's things in your life that you're not proud of. How do we have that peace with ourselves? Well, the only peace that we can receive, we find in John chapter 14, verse 27, and John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said this to His disciples right before He was going to leave them, last time He was going to meet with them on this side of the cross. He says, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And then you skip over to chapter 16, the very last verse, verse 33. "I've told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." The only way that we can have peace with ourselves is we've got to accept the peace of Jesus. You can't get a knockoff version. You can't get a generic version to take the place of the real thing. I know I have generic drugs that I take for my cholesterol and for some of the other things. That they're a cheaper price. They say they do the same thing, but you get kind of a generic version of them. You know, when the kids were little and we had to go to the grocery store, it seemed like every other day, to get breakfast cereal for them. You would go in and we did not get the name brand cereal at that time. We did not get Honey Nut Cheerios. We got something called Honey-O's is what we got at the store because it was cheaper. It kind of gave you the impression of Cheerios, but you knew it wasn't the real thing. I love peanut brittle. And peanut brittle comes in different ways. You can get it. Sometimes it's too hard. Sometimes it's this. I have found the best peanut brittle. I found it out at the Ark and the Creation Museum. It is Uncle Leroy's Pecan Coconut Peanut Brittle. It is delicious. It is heavenly. There's nowhere you can get it around here. I've got to go to their resource. I've got to order it online to get it directly from them. Jesus says the only peace that you're going to have that takes care of the hurt that's in your heart, that settles the pain in your life, that helped you when you were reminded of the things that you've done in your past, that peace is only found in Him. And when you think and you hear the whispers of the evil one, he tries to whisper in your heart, in your mind, to remind you of the things that you've fallen short, the things that you did, to try to remind you that there's nothing about you that will change because of now the relationship that you have with God. I want you to be reminded of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul wrote this verse especially for you, and he wrote it especially for me. He starts with verse 15. He says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Don't you think when Peter locked eyes with Jesus after Jesus had told him, you're going to deny me three times, and Peter said, hey, I'll go to my death for you. And after he denied him the third time, he looked up and Jesus saw him and they met eyes. Don't you think the disappointment, the expression on Jesus' face stuck with Peter the rest of his life? Don't you think when there was that struggle and thinking, man, I don't know if I can go on any longer. I've done it once. Maybe it'll happen again in my life. And then he would be reminded that he's a new creation. That Jesus gives us the peace, that we can have peace with ourselves. That past is gone, that we've been made a new creation, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've told you about the living Lord's Supper. And I love how it starts out. Each disciple comes out and gives their bio. I love this little piece about Matthew, the tax collector. He says, my surname is Levi, but you know me as Matthew, the tax collector. No matter who Matthew was, it's recorded for all time. It's not Matthew the forgiven or Matthew the former tax collector. It's Matthew the tax collector. Because of my profession, I have never known friendship or love. And then one day a shadow fell across my collecting table and I looked up into the face of the master. I saw in those eyes a compassion I had never seen in any man. And trust me, I have looked into the eyes of many men as they paid their due to the government. Follow me was all Jesus said. I left my table and my life as a tax collector behind and followed him. It was the best bargain of my life. See, when you get that right relationship with God through Jesus Christ and your faith in him, you can have peace with yourselves. All those reminders, all those things, those memories that flood your mind at time, those have all been forgiven. And as Paul says, I'm an example for you for the mercy and the grace that God has given. And so when we have peace with ourselves, how do we have that peace with everything around us, when the world is so chaotic and so troubled? Jesus tells us very clearly in John chapter 16, he says, you're going to have trouble in this world. And when we skip back to Romans chapter 5, one of the reasons I want you to read that passage this week a couple times is the middle part of it that I skipped. It starts with verse 3. He says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. How do you have peace when trouble's all around you? See, when Jesus talked about John 14 and John 16, if you read those whole sections, I encourage you to, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to be leaving you soon. I'm not going to be around you. But I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit to remind you of everything I said. And when you're grieving and when you're hurting and when you're by yourself, the Holy Spirit will be there to remind you and uplift you. It says in Romans chapter 8 that even when we don't know the words to form in our prayer, to even put before God the things that we're struggling with, it says the Holy Spirit searches our minds and intercedes for us, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us when we become a Christian. It tells that we are going to struggle, and there's going to be times when everything is around us. Doesn't seem like there's any peace at all. But in Philippians chapter 4, Paul wrote from prison, he said, do not be anxious about anything, but with prayer and petition, present your request before God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus. You know this already. But there's rarely a day that goes by that's totally peaceful, is there? Something pops up, something breaks down, something comes up unexpected, something that's not on the schedule, something traumatic that changes your life forever. I've mentioned before, 9 years ago, February of the year, two youngest daughters hit by a drunk driver. Guy went to, court. We followed him all to court. He went to prison, thought everything was taken care of. The very next week, walking through, had been downtown, walking home, it was a beautiful day like this. He said, man, I don't have to go to the courthouse anymore. Everything is going well. Man, we got that behind us. And I remember telling my boss that day, he said, man, things can change so quickly. And within 2 hours, I get a phone call from the hospital in Springfield telling me that my oldest daughter had been in an accident. And I said, can I talk to her? No, can't talk to her. Need to get someone down here pretty quick, though. I said, ma'am, I'm 2.5 hours away. She said, well, you need to get someone to the hospital pretty quickly. And so my brother lives right in Springfield. We called him. I called my dad to say, hey, the other two kids have got things going on. We got to get Betty. I've got to get down there. But God had it the whole time. We get down there. Carrie's future husband's already there. Betty's cousin comes in the next day when Carrie's in surgery. We didn't even know he was in the area. My cousin picks up dinner for us. It's that peace that passes all understanding when we have the Holy Spirit living in our lives. I want to give you 2 verses to look at, to write down, to underline in the book of Psalms. That's why I love Psalms so much. Psalms 3:5 and Psalm 4:8, they're one chapter apart. David writes there, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone make me dwell in safety. That only happens when we have the Holy Spirit living in our lives. And then in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 5, I lie down and sleep, I wake again because the Lord sustains me. When everything around us seems chaotic and troubled, we got to focus on Jesus and visualize him in our minds, standing near to us, encouraging us, lifting us up. And we did the story of the calming of the storm, and Carla talked about it. Jesus stood up, all the disciples, they were scared to death. Jesus stood up and said, quiet. Some of your Bibles may say peace. It's a different word than the peace we're talking about. The important part is that Jesus calmed the storm. The important part for us is that Jesus was in their boat. Is Jesus in your boat? Is he there right by you that when the storms come up, he can stand right next to you and say, hey, be still. Be calm. I'm here. I've got this. You guys know I like to shoot baskets. I shoot free throws maybe about once a month. I don't get in there as much as I'd like to, and I've had some good success with it, but there'll be times when I start missing. My mind's filled with other things. I'm worried about, you know, making so many in a row, and if I miss, what will happen? I'm worried about things going on. And then I remember just 3 weeks ago the most basic lesson my coach taught me. The very first thing that he taught us was, look at the rim. Look at the rim. Put your hand over the rim and figure your hand's going into the basket and the ball's going right over the rim. Forget everything else. Focus on the rim. It's blocked out all those other things. It's helped me focus more on that. It's the same way for us. Focus on Jesus being in your boat and calming the storms. But how do we get that Holy Spirit into our lives? Ephesians 1:14 says that we hear the gospel and we believed, and we are marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. And he comes to reside in us. When the people ask Peter, what do we got to do to be saved? He says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's how we can have peace when everything around us is chaotic. We have the peace of God that transcends all understanding in our lives to help us with that. And when we have that peace with God, we have God's love, we have God's Son, we have God's Spirit, we have God's eternal life, and we have God's heaven in our future. So we can have peace with God, we can have peace with ourselves, and we can have peace in a world that's filled with trouble. But if you've never accepted that invitation to God's banquet, you're living your life without the Holy Spirit, and you're living your life without the security of Jesus standing with you on the day of judgment, I encourage you. Easter's a great time to make that decision, to be counted as one of God's and to join that invitation and come around his table. This morning I picked the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It mentions the peace that we have. And I encourage you this week to concentrate on Romans chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 1, John 14 and John 16, to remind us the only peace that will give us eternal peace is the one found in Jesus. And you can't find it at any Dollar General or any Family Dollar store.